All right, we're in Romans chapter 16 today, verses 17 through 27. We're ending the book of Romans. We've been in the book of Romans for probably just a little over a year. And I have to say that I will miss it. I love the book of Romans. And so I have thoroughly enjoyed it. I hope that you have. I hope that you've learned some things and your doctrine is more set. We have lots of visitors here today, and we just want to welcome you all. But there's two very special ladies here, and that's Martha Crick and Miss Morrison. I can't call Miss Morrison by her name. We go back about 50 years, and she, I know her first name. I just can't call her by her first name. It's just always Miss Morrison. And she was actually my mother's teacher when my mom went to school as an LPN. And so she has been in our life for 50 years at least, and my mother held her in high regards as I do. And so both of these ladies were part of the senior citizens in Murray, that group, and they just came up to be with us, and we love them. God bless you. So it's good to have them. Amen. Let's start with the verse 17 of Romans 16. He says, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by smooth words and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I'm glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Timothy, my fellow worker, and Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my countrymen, greet you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord." Now, you know, he dictated for Paul. Okay, that's how he wrote. He literally did the writing, but Paul was dictating. Gaius, my host and the host of the whole church, greets you. Aratus, the treasurer of the city, greets you. And Quartus, a brother, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and in the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of all the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith, to God alone be wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forevermore." Father God, we just come before you. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that your word is anointed. It's always anointed. It's living. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. Father, it says, Lord, that it can come between the marrow and the bone, Father. And I pray, God, that the Word of God would come into our heart today. Take anything that's evil, anything, Lord, that's not of you. I pray, God, that you would just cut that out like a cancer in our body. God, just remove that from us through your Word. Let your Word be sharp today. I pray, Lord, that our spirits, our minds would be open to the revelation of your Word. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I titled this sermon, "Guard the Vineyard." Guard the vineyard. And what do I mean by the vineyard? I mean the church. Guard the vineyard. Guard your family. When I read this, Paul is ending his letter to the churches in Rome. And, sometimes you got to sort of get yourself into the feeling, to the atmosphere of what he's doing and how he's writing. And I see this as being very fatherly. And as I have prayed over the sermon and prayed last night, I just feel such a gentle spirit by the Spirit of God that just wants to sort of pull us in today and give us a warning, but to give us encouragement from the Spirit of God. Does that make sense to you? It's just like a daddy would be talking to you. It's sort of what I feel like. And he starts off, and in my mind, and I've just a lot of these are the Kelleher version of it, okay? Number one, some things in life are worth fighting for. Now, I don't believe that Christians are supposed to be fighters, but there's some things worth standing up for. And the old saying, if you don't stand up for something, you'll fall for everything, right? One of the things that I believe that's worth standing up for is your family. You better stand up for your family. You better be willing to knock off the wolves, right? A club might be a good thing for a family man to have. And when the wolf starts coming in towards your children, towards your wife, towards those things that you love, you have my permission to knock it in the head. Now, if it's a fellow brother in the church, don't do that. let's just talk it out, okay? Your family, your faith, and I believe your church is worth fighting for. And so we're standing up. Now, Paul gives us some real specific instructions about what was happening in this church. And the one thing that we see, it was intentional. It wasn't just accidental. It was intentional. He talks about their bellies. Did you see that? You know, when the Bible talks about they're moving out of their bellies, it means it's soulish. It means they're trying to satisfy their own flesh. The soul is the mind, will, and emotion. So when someone turns soulish, they turn selfish. There's a selfish motivation, and they're trying to do something to benefit on their own. Does that make sense? Okay, you're getting quiet on me. I just started and you're quiet. So it's intentional, it's self-serving, or manipulative. What's manipulation? It's witchcraft. That's exactly right. That's not my version, that's the Word of God. Manipulation is witchcraft. If there's any part of you that has a nature of manipulating people, you need to surrender that to the Lord and ask the Lord to remove it, because it's not good. Now I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Specifically, what Paul is speaking of is false teachers. He labels it. All through Paul's writings, all through Paul's ministry, there would come people behind him that was sowing discord, that was sowing a wrong word. So when Paul was preaching grace, others would come behind him and say, no, that's not really right. You really got to obey the law. You got to be circumcised. You got to do this and you got to do that. And it was causing a lot of discord in the Bible. And so Paul would have to come back and say, if anybody preaches anything other than what I preach to you, even if it looks like an angel, it's not of God. Woo, that's strong words. And that has happened in our lifetime. Right? So Paul also dealt with the Gnostics. Anybody ever heard that term? We get the word knowledge from it. And they believed that everything could be, it did not matter how you lived, knowledge would solve it. I think that's America in a nutshell. Right? Doesn't matter how you live, grace covers it. What we need is knowledge. If education can't fund it, if it can't fix it, then we don't know what to do with it. Just not true. Just not true. I want to read to you from the book of Jude. It's only one chapter, and we rarely ever talk about it. But Jude was a brother of Jesus. Did you know that? And so verse 17 through verse 20 says this, "But you, my dear friends, must remember what the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ predicted. They told you that in the last times there would be scoffers whose purpose in life is not to satisfy their ungodly desires. These people are the ones who are creating divisions among you. They follow their natural instincts because they do not have God's Spirit in them. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith, praying in the power of the Holy Ghost," which I believe is your prayer language. Praying in the Holy Ghost, you build yourself up. It's a shame that probably over half of the church doesn't even believe in that prayer language. but the Lord talks about it over and over and over. So he says you can build yourself up, but he says they follow their natural instinct because they don't have God's Spirit in them. So if you don't have God's Spirit, you just do what you think is right in your own mind. But when you have the Spirit of God, you're supposed to let the Spirit of the Lord lead you. And I believe it's in Galatians that says this. I love these words. He says, keep in step with the Holy Spirit. So that means don't get ahead of Him. Don't get behind Him. Walk with Him. Christians, we ought to ask the Spirit of the Lord to be leading us every day of our life. So these people are smooth talkers and they deceive innocent people. And it's on purpose. It's not by accident. That's really what you need to remember. It says, how do you safeguard against that? How can we make sure that, because it's still happening. It's going to happen more in the last days than ever, right? How do we do that? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, when he says that, rightly dividing the word of truth, that speaks to me that says you can wrongly divide it. You see, the Bible is a spiritual book. It's written by God. And it's hard for your carnal mind to get it. That's why you need to pray, Spirit of the Lord, reveal to me what's in the Scriptures. Reveal to me what I need to get out of this passage. And it's amazing that you can read the same verse 1,000 times and the Spirit of God speak to you and bring something new almost every time. His word is so deep, isn't it? Paul makes one statement and he says, your reputation of obedience is widely known. Wow. Is that not great? Did you know you have a reputation? I remember when I was in management, I had opened a store in Evansville, Indiana, a venture store, and we were doing this manager's training together, trying to form a team because they brought us in from a lot of different places. And so the leader asked this question and they said, what do people say about you? And so, you know, we had to say what everybody says about, you know, what are you gossiping about? You know, what are you saying when you hear the word Larry Jackson? Where's your mind go? And they come to me and they say, Eric, what do you think people are saying about you? And I said, I have no clue. And a girl beside me was a good friend of mine. She started laughing. She said, get out of here. You surely know. And I said, I don't know what, I have no idea. And she said, we all call you the old mother hen. Because you're constantly trying to protect everybody. You're constantly trying to keep us all out of trouble. And so, and that was true. We did a lot of, this is embarrassing. But we used to go out to eat, and I was the only non-drinker, and they used to drink. And they got us thrown out of restaurants before because they were such a rowdy group. And I was always like, guys, please, guys. So I guess that's where I got the name, the old mother hen. And I guess I'm still a little bit like that with you. But if there's a reputation that we could have, wouldn't you like to have the reputation of being obedient to the Spirit of God? And that's what Paul says about this church. They're obedient. And everybody knows that you're obedient to the Spirit of God. Then he goes on and he makes this statement, be wise in doing good. Be wise. Doesn't that sound like a daddy? Come on, doesn't it? Isn't that fatherly advice? Hey, I want you to be wise when it comes to doing good, but be innocent of evil. Oh, goodness. Do you know what the word innocent means? Unmixed. Don't mix your life up with the world. Come on, that is good. I'm not doing anything but preaching the word to you. Stay pure in your heart. In your mind. When your mind starts going to the gutter, get it out. Just repent. Say, God, help me to think better thoughts. Be innocent in evil. Be wise in what is good. There was a time in my life when I was really young that I sort of felt like I just didn't have a testimony. I got saved at 7 years old, and I literally have walked with God. That's not to say that I've done perfect or even done good all the time, but I always knew He was with me and always tried to serve the Lord all my life. So I didn't think I had a testimony. Then God brings Jeff Dowdy in my life, and I think Jeff is the one that said this, and Jeff has been to hell and back a few times, I think. And so he's got the kind of testimony that reaches hearts and touches hearts. I mean, what God delivered him from, what God has done, God set his feet on the rock. I mean, just a wonderful testimony. I love their whole family, the testimony of their whole family. But Jeff, we were talking one time, and he told me this. He said, Eric, I think the greatest testimony is not the guy who's been delivered, but the guy who never got mixed up in it. I think that's good. So if you've never been divorced, bless God. It's a wonderful testimony, right? Do you know you don't have to go down every road to witness and to minister to those who've been there? Does this make sense? Yeah, there's this fallacy in the church that unless I've done the same sin, I can't minister to you. That's not true. It's not true. I want you to know, we need to do everything in our power to keep these kids innocent, to keep them unmixed with this world. I tell you, the world is like a vacuum on these kids' life, trying to suck them in, and to you also. Because the Bible says we're like a dog returns to his vomit. What God saved you from, if you lose out with God, if you begin to move back, you'll be surprised. You'll go right back to that old hole. The things that are familiar. Sin will try to drag you back into what God delivered you from. Be wise and doing good. Thank you. Be innocent in evil. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, I believe 27, I think I have it in my notes. He says, don't give the devil a foothold. Don't open the door to the devil in your household. Or any place. That's right. This is really the household, right? Don't open the door. See, pornography is a door. Alcohol is a door. Smoking a joint, it's a door. It takes you someplace. Now, I know this is clothesline preaching. Oh, Pastor, you're just old. Yes, I am. And you will be wise if you will listen to me right now. Don't open the door to some of that stinking stuff. I'm not preaching my goodness, but I've never smoked a joint. I've never been high. I've never drank alcohol. And I ain't missed nothing by doing it. Do you know how much of the church I call sipping saints? Because they think a little dab will do you. You know, I got news for you. I don't see anything. Now, I'm not preaching from the biblical standpoint. Okay. The Bible talks about drunkenness, but I want to go one more step. I see that it brings nothing good, but it sure opens a door to a lot of demons from hell. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, he says, abstain from every form, appearance is what was brought up, abstain from the appearance of evil. In other words, if it looks bad, don't do it. Even if it's not bad, if it looks bad, don't do it. He says, Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Now we're in 1 Thessalonians still yet. May the God of peace sanctify you. What's that mean? Set you apart. Set you apart completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not what we all want? Amen. How do we do that? By being wise and doing good and being innocent and evil. Folks, I know this is old time preaching, but I'm telling you, we're too mixed up with the world right now. We're too intertwined. Remember a few weeks ago, I talked to you about Lot, and I told you, the Bible says that that righteous man, Lot, his soul was vexed, which means poisoned, by the city in which he lived. I'm telling you today, by the authority of the Word of God, Satan is trying to poison your soul through the lifestyle of people that are living here. Step back. Step out of the world. Be sanctified. Be set apart. And let God be true in your life. Let God use you. There's one other verse I wanted to bring. I don't know if Tony... Yeah, Tony's here. Tony always quotes this verse to me in a backward way. It's 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says, bad company corrupts good character. Bad company. Boy, that's old time preaching, isn't it? It matters who you hang out with. It matters who you hang out with. Bad company corrupts good character. Tony turns that around. He said, if bad company corrupts good character, he said, then good company helps me out. How do you say that, Tony? I forgot. Do what? Promotes good character. So he comes out and hangs out with me all the time. I'm not sure which side he's on there. The next point, he says, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The word shortly is not to be read as soon. It's to be read as swiftly. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet soon. In my mind, I believe that too, because it's the Word of God. In my mind, though, he used the wrong word. The God of peace? Come on. Why didn't he say the Lion of the tribe of Judah will soon crush Satan? Now, I believe this word goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the first prophecy given about Jesus, when God literally was cursing the serpent. And he said, you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. Right? And this is the fulfillment of it. He's saying the God of peace, the God of shalom, the old Hebrew word, peace. See, I don't think we quite comprehend what peace is, because we just think peace means I don't have any trouble. Goodness, no, that's not it at all. It means in your trouble, you have tranquility with God. It means that God wants you whole. W-H-O-L-E. Complete. Not missing anything that he gives. You remember the story of the 10 lepers? Jesus said, you go on out and show yourself to the priest. And the one guy who wasn't Jewish, he came back and he said, thank you. I'm healed. Thank you. And Jesus says, was there not 9? Or was there not 10? Where are the other 9? Why are they not coming back to thank me? I think that's a message for the church. And he says that all of them were healed, but you have been made whole. You see, a leper was ostracized from the community, which would do something to your head, right? You couldn't be with people any longer. And Jesus didn't just heal him of leprosy. He healed him in his mind. He made him whole to where he could be included again. Do you know a lot of us, we don't have physical ailments, but we've got some mental ailments. I'm not calling you crazy. I'm just saying a lot of us have just something missing that God wants to give to you physically, mentally, emotionally. Do you receive that? Do you think God cares about what you think about? God wants you whole, complete, lacking nothing. You know, I hate that part of the church takes that and turns it all to prosperity. Talks all about money. It ain't about money, folks. It's about having peace, having that wholeness. And he says, the God of peace is going to crush Satan. Are you going to get it? Under your feet. He didn't say his feet. You get it? Did you see it? I'd circle it in my Bible if I was you. Under my feet. That means he ain't going to rule over me. I'm going to stomp his head. I have to be careful what I say in church. I'm going to stomp his head. Why? And it's not me. It's the God in me that's going to let me tread on scorpions and serpents and Satan himself. Man, we got most of the church scared to death of the devil. Oh, he's been after me. It's just, I don't know what to do. He's just all over me. Are you kidding me? He's supposed to be under your feet. Instead of your head. See, the trouble, Satan's a liar, and we all know Satan's a liar. He's the father of all lies. The trouble with that is we start believing his stinking lies. And Satan wants to get in your head. Be innocent of evil. Right? How does he get in our head? We watch too much junk. We put too much garbage in our life. Garbage in, garbage out. Stay unmixed from this world so that the God of peace wants to crush Satan under your feet. He wants you to walk above and not beneath. I'm glad three or four of you are getting this. Then the next to last part of this scripture, I love this. I see, you know, sometimes we make Paul to be a bit arrogant, brutish, but he's not. He cares about people. And so he lets these guys just talk to you for just a second. And so he said, we all know who Timothy is. Timothy was his spiritual son. Lucius is probably, from everything I read, that's probably Luke. Just a different form of his name. That's the doctor. Dr. Luke, who wrote the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. He also wrote the book of Acts. That's him. So he's saying he greets you. And then Jason, you remember Jason in the book of Acts? Paul was in Jason's house. And they were coming for him. So Paul, I think they slipped him out through the window. And so Paul got away, so they just beat up Jason, right? And thrown Jason in jail. This is a guy who's seen a little bit, done a little bit. These other guys, Tertius and Quartus, are slaves. Their names mean three and four. number three, number four, come here. Here's what's so neat about this. You see slaves and doctors and preachers of the gospel all coming together equal in the Spirit of God. Do you get that? There's such unity. See, God doesn't divide. God restores our unity to each other. It is good. So why do we have this garbage in church? Racism, prejudice. It is not of God. And when it raises its ugly head, we need to chop the head off. We ought not put up with it. Now the last point I want you to get, and I really want you to get this. He says, now to him who is able to establish you. You know, there are lots of things in life that makes this promise, but it's not true. You see, money, your job, your identity in any of those things, it gives you that false hope of trying to stabilize you, trying to establish your reputation, but it's all false. Are you hearing me? See, there's only one thing in life that will bring you stabilization. I got to come down and talk to you again. See, I probably did have a nervous breakdown at one time in my life. So I know what it's like not to be able to focus my thoughts. If there's a hell on earth, that's it. When you're having emotional problems, you can't think straight. I mean, man, it's terrible. And so this verse ministers to me because it says, God will establish me. He will set my feet on the rock. He will set my thoughts straight so that I can think the thoughts of God. So that I'm not scattered, running this way and that way and can't think straight, can't make a good decision. No, 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 no. The God of peace that crushed Satan under my feet is also able to fix me, establish me, strengthen me. Anybody need a little strength? Praise God, so that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. Right? That's the God that we serve. See, He's not a God that just wants to save you. He wants to fix you. He wants to make you whole. He wants to give you a right mind. Man, in a day like today, and in a season in which we're going through right now, we're getting ready to go through the most depressing, most suicidal season of the year. And I am preaching to you that God wants to make your thoughts straight. God wants to bring His Spirit into you and set your feet on a good foundation. He wants to establish your faith, establish your mind, establish your doctrine. Know who you are in Christ. The world can give you a lot of identities, and they will. But you're only going to find one identity that will stand the test of time. And that's the identity that Jesus Christ gives you. Romans chapter 1 verse 11. I believe Paul is going all the way back in his final thoughts. He's tying them to his first thoughts. Isn't that neat? He's taking chapter 16 and he's tying it with chapter 1. He says, "For I long to see you." This is what he's telling the church. He said, "Man, I want to be with you." And he says this, "that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established." Folks, we ought to know who we are in Christ. And if you know who you are, then you know you're triumphant. Right? Only Jesus can really establish us. You know, when I thought about this, I thought about King David. David was chosen king, most people think, when he was about 16 years old, 17. Remember, Samuel came in and anointed him with oil. His daddy didn't even think he had a chance. You know, his dad brought his six brothers or seven brothers in, and Samuel kept saying, "No, that ain't the one. No, no, God's not. Have you got any more sons?" "Well, only that dingbat out there watching my sheep." "You don't want him. He sings all the time." He said, "You better bring him in. He might be the one." They bring this boy in, 16, 17 years old. And Samuel says, "Oh, that's him. That's him." You see, God established David at 17 years old. And later on, he would go and he'd whip a giant, right? And later on, he would go and the guy that he was going to replace would haunt him and hunt him down for 13 years trying to kill him. And David never lifted his hand to hurt Saul. Why? Because David was established in who he was. Are you getting this? See, if you don't know who you are, then you can be pulled away. David was never pulled away. Saul tried to kill him, but he knew. Nope, I remember that day when Samuel poured that oil all over my head and anointed me to be king, and I know that was God. I may not be sitting in the office right now or on the throne, but I know that day is coming, and I don't have to do it by myself. There was a time a little bit later when his own son raised up against him and tried to overthrow him and did overthrow him. David never fought Absalom. Why? Because he knew the throne was from God and not from himself. He was established in who he... Are you getting this? He knew who he was. He knew his calling. And he said this, if God is done with me, okay, I'll leave the office. But if he's not, he'll bring me back. What happened? He brought him back. See, you may go into work tomorrow and they may give you a pink slip. And you may just fall apart. Oh my God, what am I going to do without a job? Unless you know that God is your provider. When you know that God is your provider, then you say, bless God, it's been great working for you. He must have something better for me. The doctor comes to you and says, oh, it didn't look good, that x-ray. Well, if God is done with me, God is done with me. I'm ready to go. But if not, doc, I will live. And I will proclaim the goodness of God all the days of my life. Why? Because a doctor doesn't define who I am. My bank account doesn't define who I am. This woman doesn't even define who I am. He defines who I am. How do I know? Because I've studied to show myself approved, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Folks, life is in the book. You get in that Bible and it grounds you. All of a sudden, you start seeing yourself the way He sees you. Remember when God come down to talk to Gideon? He says, I need a leader. I need a man that can take my king, my guys out to battle. Where's Gideon at? He's hiding behind the barn. You see, he's like, oh, I hope nobody sees me. And God says, hey, Gideon, you mighty man of God. Are you kidding me? I'm telling you, the way God sees you and the way you see you probably is two different pictures. But when you hone in to what God sees and you say, that's the truth, not what I'm seeing in the mirror, but what God says about me, all of a sudden your feet get stuck on that rock. And He establishes your character and who you are. We live in a day when everything we know is good is being tested. Everything that we know as true is being brought through and said, well, that's really not the way it is. See, God made males and females, and then He made another category we call others. I don't know. That somehow missed my book of Genesis. I don't see that God created males, females, and others. So if it doesn't line up with the Word, it's not true. My Bible says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles. That word wiles is schemes. Against the schemes of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against CNN. And all the false news. We wrestle against principalities against powers, against the rulers of this darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. My fight is not with man, but my fight is the spirit that's motivating that man to tell lies. So how do I whip that? On my knees, baby. We need to quit talking, start talking to him. Start praying the word. Folks, if America ever needed a church, it needs it now. It needs a church that believes in the word, that will not back up on the word. He says that God establishes us through the mystery. Paul talks a lot about the mysteries. Mysteries in the Word of God is not things that are difficult to understand. It's things that had not been revealed at that point. Remember, Israel did not accept Jesus as the Messiah. It was a mystery to them, but the Gentiles accepted him. So it was brought to the Gentiles. So what is this great mystery that Paul is speaking of? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. Glory where? Glory on this earth. Glory in your soul. Jesus is the hope of which we stand. Right? Man, you gotta anchor in to Jesus. And he will firmly fix and establish and strengthen your life. So no matter what hell breaks out against you. Any of you had a little hell break out against you? Come on. I want to see a hand. Anybody had some hell break out against them? Absolutely. Can I give you a word? Our God is greater. He is greater. You know the neat thing about God, he can take that hell that Satan throws at you, turn that sucker around, and make good come out of it. I don't know how he does it, but he can make your battles something good, something positive. Only God can do that. Amen. Would you stand with me? Guard the vineyard. Guard your soul. You're not listening. Guard your soul. The Bible says out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Rivers. Do you get that? See, Christians today, if we compared our soul to our gas tank, most Christians are driving with about a quarter of a tank. Maybe even an eighth of a tank. You're so near empty, you're breathing fumes. And God never wanted that. You get me? God wants your tank overflowing. Because we minister in the overflow. Right? God wants you abundant. So that when you go to work, you're speaking the word of life. You're speaking hope and good things. You're not joining in with that depressing talk. Right? I ain't me. I don't want to hear that. I had to tell Sherry all the time, don't tell me that old stuff. No, I'm teasing. No matter where you're at, people's got a depressing story for you because they're negative. This world is negative. But we are the positive charge when we understand who we are and when we are full. Anybody need a refill? If this is a gas station, would you be pulling your tank in? Amen. I need it all the time. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I'm not going to make it easy on you. I just want you to step out of your seat and come and stand right in front of me because I want to pray for you. The Bible says if you can't admit, you know, if you deny Him, He'll deny you. So there should be, I mean, this is the most precious thing you ever do in your life, accepting Jesus. So if you're here and you don't know Christ and it may seem a little embarrassing, you just know that this church will be not only welcoming you, but they'll be cheering you on. And if you're here today and you say, Eric, I feel like everything in this world has tried to identify me, but Jesus. And I need Jesus to firmly fix me, to establish my steps. I want you to come forward. Just gather in front. We just want to end with a word of prayer. And if the Lord has ministered anything else to you that, man, I'm sweating, that you maybe need to repent of or just ask for strength for, let's just find a place at the front for just a moment. We're not going to extend it long, but it's just a good place for you to come and surrender and allow Jesus to minister to you. So if you're here and you just need prayer of any sort, come and line up here today.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Hallelujah. Now I believe the people up here, I know them, and I believe they're asking for their tank to be refilled. I believe that God is, I believe they're saying, God, I want to be established. I want my true identity to be in You. I don't want my mama even to call me who I am. I want Jesus to call me who I am. I don't want the doctrine of the past to define me. I'm looking to the Word of God. Oh, that's good. Man, that's good. Hallelujah. I'm going to turn my mic off. Let's pray.
Trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.